We're going to start from 8 to 10, the 10th line down from the top of the Gemara Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara over here is talking, is trying to find out which shita holds that Zeb Zeb Goyim is Asur, meaning that if you have two factors, you have a factor that contains Heter, that is Mutter, and a factor that contributes something that's Asur, and the two of them together are what creates this new element. The question is whether or not that's enough to make it Asur, or that's going to be Mutter. So we said that Rabbi Eliezer Shita is that Zeb Zeb Goyim is Asur, so meaning if you have an oven that's already created, the Heter, and then you light a fire using wood that's Asur, like Asherah or something like that, and that creates the heat in the oven that now is able to bake the bread. Question is whether or not that bread is going to be Asur. So we said that Rabbi Eliezer Shita is Zeb Zeb Goyim is going to be Asur, but we haven't proven that Rabbi Eliezer really holds that. So now we're going to start from the Gemara, 10 lines from the top. The Gemara says, Ela Rabbi Eliezer de Eitzei Asherah. So to prove this, we're going to use Rabbi Eliezer Shita in the sugya of Asherah, which is a type of Avodah Zarah. It's a tree that was used as Avodah Zarah. That's not what we learned in a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Notel Haymenu Eitzim, if you took wood from the Asherah tree, Asurim Bahano. So obviously the wood itself is Asur Bahano. You're not allowed to use the wood from the tree itself. Hesek Bahan is a Tanar. Now, if you use that wood and you heated up the oven, chadash, if it's a brand new oven, yutatz. You have to break the oven, because as we explained, that a new oven, the first time you use it, you heat it up, that solidifies the oven, that puts it together. So therefore, that oven is completely made be'isr, you have to destroy the oven. Yashon, but if it's an old oven, and now you just heated it up one more time, yutzan, you have to let the oven become cold before you're allowed to use the oven again. However, afabai esapas, let's say before you allowed it to cool down all the way, you went ahead and you stuck dough in the oven and it became bread. So the question is, what's the halacha with that bread? It says asurin bahano. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, we'll see that bread becomes asur bahano. This arva bacher. Let's say you took the bread out and you accidentally dropped it into another pile of bread and you can't find the actual loaf of bread that you baked in the oven. So the bacheris, and even if that pile of bread, a loaf from that pile, from the second pile, fell into a third pile and continuing on that way, kulan asurim bahano, they're all asur bahano. Rabbi Eliezer says you could get out of this problem by taking out the value of the bread itself. Let's say the cost was $2, and taking that $2 and throwing it into the Yam HaMelech and throwing it away. So we see that. The Chachamim argue, and they say Amru Loi, and they said Ein Pidgin La Avodah Zarah. So there's no such thing as redeeming Avodah Zarah, so you can't buy out your value. Because Rabbi Eliezer's suggestion was that if you throw away that value of money anyway, so you're not really having any real Hanah from the Avodah Zarah, because even though you're eating the piece of bread, but it's still you're not gaining anything financially from it, so therefore it's not considered a benefit. In any event, what do we see? Even Rabbi Eliezer that says that you can be poided by throwing away some other value, he still holds that it's going to be usher. Now, this is a clear case of Zeb Zeb Goyim, because you have a perfectly kosher, a perfectly legitimate oven that was just heated up with an Asherah tree, and even so, the bread that comes out of it, which now has two factors, a Heter factor and an Isser factor contributing, it's still going to be usher. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer Shita is that it's going to be usher. The Gemara, however, says, Eimet Deshamas Leila Rabbi Eliezer Ba'avodah Zarah. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer, it's true that he says it in that case, but that's because it happens to be Avodah Zarah, the Chomer Isura. That is, Avodah Zarah is obviously a very stringent, very very high level Isser, and therefore maybe Rabbi Eliezer is more Machmer over there. Bashar Isura Shabbatar Mishamas Leila. Who says that he holds that that's going to be true, that even when you have two factors contributing by other Isurim in the Torah, he holds that that's also going to be Asur. So the Gemara says, Ela im kain aman tamayu. So the Gemara's first teretz says, well, if you're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold Zeb Zeb Goyim as Asur, so then who holds that shita? There is no other shita in Shas that you're going to be able to consider that his shita, and we know that there is a shita like that in Shas. So it has to be Rabbi Eliezer that holds this, and therefore that's pshat over here. Va'oid, and besides that, Hotanya Behedja, we anyway have a Feirish Abraisa that Rabbi Eliezer holds us. Bechain, because it says, Bechain Hay Rabbi Eliezer Oyser, Becholi Surin Shabbatayr. Rabbi Eliezer used to say that it was Asr, this case of Zeb Zeb Goyim, when you have two contributing factors, that it's Asr by all Isurim, it's not only limited to Avodah Zarah. So, the Gemara over here finds its Mandi Omer that holds Zeb Zeb Goyim as Asr, and it's going to be Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Now the Gemara says, okay, now that we've established that, Amar Abayas, Abayas says, in Tim Salem is Zeviz Agarim Osir. Let's say we hold that Zeviz Agarim is Osir. Rebbe, Haina Rebbe Eliezer. So Rebbe also will be the same Shita as Rebbe Eliezer, because Rebbe also holds that if you have bread that comes out of the oven, it's also going to be Osir. So we can say that it's Zeviz Agarim, that if Rebbe also agrees to that concept, he will be the same Shita as Rebbe Eliezer, that Zeviz Agarim is Osir. Vim Tim Salim is Zeviz Agarim Mutter. But if you want to say that according to Rebbe, the reason the bread is Osir, but you hold Zeviz Agarim is Mutter, when you have two contributing factors and one of them is Heter, so the outcome is also Mutter, so why is the bread Osir? V'hacha Mishum D'yeh Shvach Eitzim B'Pasu. Over here, it's not because you look at the contributing factors and say, okay, together they add up to something and therefore part of it is Osir. But rather, over here, in the case of the bread, there is an element of the Isser itself in the bread itself. It's not because it's a contributing factor. It's because part of the Isser is in the bread. And you can't eat the bread because the bread has intrinsically partially Osir. Part Isser. In other words, the heat that the fire created from the wood is Osir, and the heat that's generated from that is Osir, and that's in the bread itself, so therefore the bread itself is Osir, but not because it's only one factor that went into it. Okay, but if so, that that's true. So let's try to apply that to other cases. Hanika Arois, let's say you have spoons, the kaisais or cups with sluchais and plates, asiri, so they're going to be usher also, because they were created from, and we're talking about they were metal, they were created from the fire that was usher. So the spoon itself is what you're going to use to have hanoah, so that would be considered having hanoah from the isser. So the spoon itself is going to be usher. So everybody agrees in that case that even Rebbe, that holds that you have the Isser in itself intrinsically in it, or Rabbi Eliezer that says Zeviz Agarim is Osir, they're both going to agree that the spoons that were created from Isser are going to be Isser, Osir. So ki pligi betanur v'kedera. So when do Rebbe and Rabbi Eliezer argue, that if Rebbe doesn't hold of Zeviz Agarim, they argue in a case of an oven and a stove. In those cases where this oven itself is not the thing that's Osir, but rather the oven is going to be used, that you're going to have to put another fire in to be able to bake bread or something like that, so that's where they're going to argue whether the bread is going to be Mutter. L'mandi yamar Zeviz Agarim Osir. So according to Rabbi Eliezer Shita, you have the fact that the oven was created by Isser, and also another factor, but it's not going to matter because Isser is going to be contributing, so it's going to remain Osir. L'mandi yamar Zeviz Agarim Mutter Shari. According to the Mandi yamar, that says that when you have two factors, it's mutter. So in this case, well, okay, the oven is only one factor, that's usr, but you also have a heter factor contributing, so it's going to end up being mutter. That's one version to the story. Ikadamri, a second version is, afil l'mandi yamar Zeviz Agarim mutter, even according to the Mandi yamar that Zeviz Agarim is mutter, kedera asura, the oven, or the stove, is going to be usr. Why? Dehak kibla bishula mikame deniten eitzim lehetera. See, the problem is that the pot, when it was created, even though the pot is going to cook something else, and we're really concerned about the thing that's going to be cooked in the pot, however, the pot itself was created from the fire that made it, and you're going to put stuff into the pot. So therefore, the pot itself is going to be usr, because it has intrinsically the isser in it to create it, to form it, and therefore, it's even if you hold Zeviz Agarim as mutter, in this case, it has too much of the isser in it itself, and it remains usr. Okay, now Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So we say the name of Shmuel. Tanur shehasiku beklipe arla. As we discussed earlier, the peels of the arla are like the fruit itself, and just like the arla is aser bahana, so too the fruit, the peels are aser bahana. So if you have an oven that was heated up with the peels, with the shell of arla, oy bekashin shel klai akerem, or using another example, the straw that's made of klai akerem, which is also aser bahana. So chodesh, if it's a new oven, yutas, you have to break it. Yashon, if it's an old oven, yutan, you have to let it cool down. Afabas hapas. So if you cooked bread in it, Rebbe Yomer hapas muteris. Now all of a sudden we're flipping the shita and we're saying that Rebbe says the bread is going to be mutter. V'chachamim oimrim hapas asura. And the chachamim over here are the ones that say that it's asur. Now until now we've always been saying Rebbe's the man diyama that says it's asur, and here Rebbe's saying it's mutter, and the chachamim are saying it's asur. So the Gemara asked that question. V'hatani, we learned in the price of ipcha. So we see that the Brisa we learned earlier always said it the opposite, meaning that Rebbe holds that it's Osir. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Ibcha Tani. Shmuel, you're right. Shmuel, this way we're learning it is correct, but Shmuel learned the original Brice the other way around also. So we've always been quoting Rebbe incorrectly. Rebbe was really the one who was saying that it was Mutter all along. That's the first Teretz of the Gemara. The Ibai Yisayim, the second Teretz of the Gemara is Ba'alma Kosava Shmuel. Now, Shmuel holds a general rule, which is Halacha Karevi Mechavei Roy, which means that anytime you have a machlokes between one Mandi Amar and Rebbe, we always pass him like Rebbe. However, V'loy Mechavei Rov, if you have Rebbe arguing on multiple of a Rabbin, so then we're going to pass him like the Rabbin. However, Ubaha Afilu Mechavei Rov. But the problem is that Shmuel holds that this halacha is the exception to the rule, and that we're going to paskin like Rebbe, even though he's arguing on a rabbin, even though he's arguing on multiple shitas. But Shmuel wanted the outcome to be like Rebbe shita, even though he's arguing on the rabbin. So he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach everybody the halacha the opposite way around. In other words, I'm going to make Rebbe shita sound like it's the chachamim shita. Ki hecha denekim rabbanon liyisura. So that it comes out that the rabbanon are now the shita that holds its usher. So everybody's going to paskin like that shita because they think they're paskin like the rabbanon. But really, it's Rebbe that says that. And I want it to be that the outcome is going to be that we're going to paskin like Rebbe. So he switched around the shitas knowingly. Really, the way we learned it originally was that Rebbe holds its usher, and that's what Shmuel holds also. But he told everybody the Rabbanon are the one that say that it's also in order that they should be able to ship paskin like Rebbe by thinking they're paskin like the Rabbanon. Okay, the next Gemara says like this: Bishlo al gabi gecholim divrei akola pas muteres. The Mishnah said that if you took, or the Brisa that we learned earlier was that till now we've been discussing burning, making the bread with the flame. Now what if the flame went out and now you just have coals left? Everybody agrees that the bread that's made with the coals is going to be mutter. So the Gemara is going to explain this. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel V'Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and we have two shitas, either Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel or Rabbi Chiya Barashi. Chad Amar Lo Yishanu Ela Gecholim Oymer Lois. He said that which we're talking about, that it's mutter, is only talking about where the coals basically went out already. They're just hot, but they're not flaming anymore. Avav Gecholim Lo Yishanu. But if the coals are still simmering coals, asurin, then it's going to be asur, because that's still considered that just like the wood itself and the fire that comes from the wood is asur, so too the coals are going to be similarly, still the isur is still in existence, and the bread is going to be asur. The charamah, that's one way to explain it. Even if the coals are simmering and they're still hot, then amim mutarim, that's mutar, because the wood itself is no longer in existence. The wood is gone. Now it's just heat. Heat is going to be mutar. So the Gemara wants to understand this. So I understand, according to the Mandi Yama that says that when their mamish they're still simmering hot, that it's also mishum the yeshvach etz bepas. So I understand this because they're still giving the wood that's generating the heat is still around, and just like the wood itself is also, so too the heat that's generated from the wood is going to be also. But according to the Mandi Yama that says that once they're, even if they're still burning hot, but that's already, the wood is non-existent anymore and it's mutter, so then pasta usr diye shvach eitzim bapas l'rebi heich mishkachaslov. Now Rebbe certainly holds that the bread is usr. So what's the case? If the case is that even when the coals are simmering, burning hot, and that's not enough, the bread is going to be mutter, so when does he ever hold its usr? So Rav Papa kashavuka kenegdoi. So the Rav Papa wants to answer. He says, okay, the case has to be where literally the fire is still lit, and that's where the wood is mamish burning right now, and that's when you're creating the pas with that fire, so then it's going to be usr. But once it turns into a coal, it's going to be mutter anymore. It's going to be mutter. Now the Gemara says, if so, now remember, Rebbe is one shita. The Rabbanan argue. Rebbe holds its asur, and the Rabbanan holds its mutter. So michlal the Rabbanan the poligale shari afilu kshavuka kenegdai. So that means the Rabbanan hold that it's mutter even when you mamish have a flame. The flame with the wood itself, that's also the Rabbanan are going to hold that it's going to be mutter. El eitzin asur the Rabbanan hech mishkachasla. So then, according to the Rabbanan, if that's not asur, if the heat that's generated from the wood itself is not asur, so when is the wood ever asur? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Barchama b'sharshifa. So he says, Anachanami, the wood is only usher if you use the wood, let's say, to create a bench, to create a chair. So the wood itself is in existence; it's not burning. Once it turns into fire, so then the fire is what's generating the heat. The wood itself is not, the wood is usher, but the fire is mutter. So if you make a fire with it, the Rabbanan are going to hold its mutter. The only time it's going to be usher is if you literally use the wood itself to make a chair, and you're relying on the wood itself. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Boy minei Rami bar Choma mirab chisto. Tanusha sikoi be'etze hektish. Till now we've been talking about Isra Noah because of the fact that it's Avodah Zarah or other types of Isurim. What if you use something that's made out of hektish, which is also something that you're not allowed to have Hanoah from? You're not allowed to use hektish. You lit a wood of hekdesh and you baked bread. So the rabbanon the shara become ma'isa mite. According to the rabbanon that holds that by avodah zara type of visor it's going to be mutter. What is the halacha going to be when you're dealing with hekdesh? Amalei apasa sura. So he said, oh. So Rav Chista answered, the bread is going to be yasser. So the Gemara says, Uma ben zula arlo. So how come when I lit up the wood using erlo wood, it was going to be mutter, but when I use hektish, it's going to be aser? So amarova hachi hashter. You can't compare erlo betela b'masayim. The difference is that erlo, even when it's aser, eventually if you put enough into it, it could become bottle. So it's therefore it's not that strong of a factor. It becomes bottle. So when you burn it in the when you burn the wood, also it'll become bottle. Hektish afilu be'elif lay bottle, but hektish will never become bottle. Never becomes bottle. You can be poided, but it'll never be'etzem in itself. Become bottle. It will never become absorbed into something else. So mamela is that even when it turns into fire, it will remain intact. It will remain with the yisur. Okay. So ela amar rabbi ikashalei hakashalei. So you're right. That was the simple answer. So what was really bothering me was the following. The problem is that once you, by hektish, once you use hektish, if it's not itself a carbon, so then it becomes no longer hektish. It becomes, so to speak, not redeemed, but it becomes used and no longer usable for hektish, and it's no longer usher. So if so, when you burn the fire over here, the hektish is no longer really hektish anymore. So like, and the Gemara says, anytime the person who lit the fire is considered, he already did the yisra of the ilah. So nafkilahu lechulin. So then the wood itself becomes chulin, and the person who lit the wood, in this case lighting the wood, or used the hektish, he has to pay for it. He has to reimburse hektish for that amount. So he'll give money for hektish, but the object itself is no longer aser. So too over here, when I burnt the wood, I lit it on fire, so I'll have to pay for the wood. I'll have to give hektish for the wood, but the wood itself is not aser. So why should the bread become aser? And over here we're talking about a carbon shlomo which has different rules, where the wood was going to be donated. You're going to sell the wood for money and you're going to buy a carbon shlomim with it, and the shlomim doesn't have this din that once you use it, it's no longer hektish. Why? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that when you have hektish, that you use it, if you use it by accident, so then it becomes chulin. The hektish is no longer hektish anymore. Now I have to reimburse hektish with money. And b'mezid ein mischal, by mezid, however, since the Torah specifically said me'ilah is dafka b'shogeg, when you do it on purpose, it doesn't become chulin. It remains intact as hektish, but there also is no din of me'ilah. So we have to explain that similarly to shlomim. B'mezid my time aloi. So how come by mezid there's no din of me'ilah? There's no din that it becomes chulin when you used it on purpose. Kivin delav bar me'ilahu. So since there's no din of me'ilah, so it doesn't become chulin, and it remains hektish also. So shlomim nami kivin delav bar me'ilah. And since shlomim is only kacha kalim, it's not kacha, it really belongs to the owner the whole time. So and not hektish, so it's not bar me'ilah. So therefore, so it doesn't have a din of me'ilah and nafkei lechulin. It doesn't become chulin, just like when you had regular hektish. But even when you did it b'mezid, there was no din of me'ilah, because me'ilah is one of those unique halachas which only applies b'shagig, not b'mezid. So it remains hektish. Shlomim also, since it doesn't have a din of me'ilah, even if you use it, it remains hektish. And therefore, that's the case over here, that you have wood that was made, that was going to be donated as a carbon shlomim. So even if you use it, it remains hektish, and that's why it contributes to the iser, and the bread is going to be aser. And the Gemara says, now the Gemara asks a question. Anyway, you made that as a general rule, that any time that I use it, it goes to chulin. So you're going to say, any time I light the wood, it becomes chulin. Bahatani, we learn in Brisa, that's not true. It says, kolon esrofen, that anything that requires to be burned, is something that became possible by hektish, and you have to burn it, so efarn mutarn. The ashes, once it's burned, the ashes become mutter to use. Chutz me'asei asherah, the exception to the rule is atzei asherah, and here's the point. Ve'efer hektish la'olam asur. And hektish also, if it became possible and you had to burn it, the ashes of the hektish remain asur no matter what. So we see that even after it was used, it still remains hektish. So to over here also, you gave us a premise that said once I use it, it's not hektish anymore. But that's not true. We have a beferish abrisa over here that says that even in the form of ashes, it still remains usher. So Amar Rami Bar Chama Kagan Shenaflo Deleika Me'aleha. So the case over here is not that you burnt it. The case is that it burned by itself. Whenever something happened and it burned by itself, so Me'aleha there was no din of Me'ilah. If there's no din of Me'ilah, again, like we said before, it doesn't get accepted out of hektish. So ba'atei hektish deleke inshe dinimol. We're talking in the case of hektish that there was therefore, as we just explained, there was no person who did me'ilah. So there's no person who did me'ilah. So it doesn't take it out of the din hektish, and therefore it remains hektish even in its ashes state. That's what we're talking about over here. So it doesn't really apply across the board. It only applies in that specific case. Rav Shmaya Amar ba'oisan she'tu'unan gniza. We're talking about those things that require that they get put away. And those are special things. The Tanya is actually talking about the Trumas Hadeshen specifically, like we discussed in the previous blot, that when you, Trumas Hadeshen, even after you did a Tavoida and you took the scoop off the Mizbeach and you put it next to the Mizbeach, it still remains a din of Gneza, and it doesn't become butcher, it still remains hektish. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, the Samu, we dash in the word of Samu that it has to be replaced. So first we dash in Benachas, you have to put it down gently. The Samu also, it has to be placed, Kuloi, the entire amount has to be put there and not anywhere else. The Samu, the Shaloi Fazer, that it can't be spread out all over the place, it has to be put there. But we see a special pasuk, as we learned earlier in the previous slide, that once you put it there, it has to stay there, it can't be removed. So we see that it retains its sin of hektish, even though the avodah was already done. So there are some exceptions to the rule, and that halacha, that, so both things are correct. Normally, once you use hektish and you change it from what it originally was used for, it no longer has a din of hektish, and it's not hektish anymore. And the other rule that says that it's, there are cases where it remains aser forever is true by Trumas Hadeshen, or if it burned by itself that nobody had a din of Ne'ilo, those things will remain hektish forever, or unless somebody else does something they're not allowed to do to it. Fine, so that's the sugya of Zevah Zagayrim, whether it's mutter or aser, and that's the sugya of hektish. Now the Gemara goes back to our concept in Psachim, which is that Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein bi'ir chametz, you have to do a b'sreifa. You have to actually burn it. You're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to get rid of it in any other way, at least during the time when it has to be burnt, the time that it becomes usur. Now the Gemara explains. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Omer Rabbi Yehuda ein bi'ir chametz elo b'sreifa. So he says that when you get rid of the chametz, it has to be done by burning it. And actually it makes sense that it has to be that way, because we have another drasha. Uman noiser. Noiser is when you left over a korban that should have been eaten by a certain time and you didn't eat it on time. She'ena b'bal yiro b'bal yamatz, and it doesn't even have the yisur b'bal yiro, which is very strict that you can't even find it. Toin sreifa, and the halacha is to get rid of it, you have to burn it. So chametz yeshna b'bal yiro b'bal yamatz. So certainly chametz, which has this special stringent halacha of b'bal yiro b'bal yamatz, like kol shekein she'toin sreifa, so certainly it should have to be burned, and you can't get rid of it in any other way. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's drasha. Omer loy, the chacham say, however, the problem with this Kal v'chomer is not that the Kal v'chomer isn't true, but it creates a problem. Because kol din sha'ata don, tchilos l'hachmer, v'soif l'hokil, any time you create a chumrah, because it's a Kal v'chomer, it's based on a din that you're trying to create a chumrah. So any time you create a chumrah, where the chumrah ends up as a result being a kula, ain't a din. That's not considered a real Kal v'chomer, that can't be the right din. Because the idea is that you're trying to create a chumrah, so it should be a chumrah all around. You can't create a chumrah which is actually going to end up as a result of end up being a kula. And why is it a kula over here? Because the halacha is leimatza eitzim l'sarfa yehei yeshiv v'batul. Over here, if you're going to restrict that he specifically, you're going to add an extra chumrah that it must be burned and no other process is okay. So what's going to happen if you can't find any wood and you're not capable of burning it? So then you're going to end up doing nothing. V'atayra amra tashbisu sa'ar mivatechem. The Torah says that you have to get rid of the chametz from your house. With anything that you can get rid of it. So therefore, over here you end up turning it into a kula instead of a chumrah. So Chazal Rabbi Yehuda b'dana din acher. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, I'll prove it to you, but not with a kal v'chomer. I'll use a gezeira shava, which you can't shlug up, because if it ends up being a kula, it ends up being a kula. That's just the way it is. It says like this. Noiser osir ba'achilo, just like noiser you're not allowed to eat it. V'chametz osir ba'achilo. So now we're making a comparison. V'chametz osir ba'achilo, and chametz also you're not allowed to eat it. Ma noiser b'sreifa. So just like by noiser you have to burn it. V'chametz b'sreifa. So too v'chametz has to be burned. Amar loy. So the chacham argued in the veilat sechich. But there are other isurim in the Torah also where you're not allowed to eat something and they don't necessarily have to be burned. Nevela, you have a nevela, an animal that dies without shechita sechich. That should prove shasur ba'achilo that you're not allowed to eat it either. Ve'ena tuna sreifa, but you don't have to. But you don't necessarily have to burn it. Amalahen. So Rabbi Yehuda said, yeah, but there's a big difference. Noiser asur ba'achilo u'bahano. The difference is that noiser is asur ba'achilo. Hold on 1 second. I just got to move over for 2 seconds. Just because we're creating a starting a share here right in the middle of where I'm sitting. So I have to move. Just give me 1 second over here. I didn't realize that they were going to start a shiur right in the middle of where I was sitting. Alright. You still hear me? Sorry about that. I didn't know what to do with you here. What? Okay. Yeah. So now we're learning it out of so he says Nevela also is Osir Ba'Achila, and it doesn't necessarily need to be burned. Amalhan Hefresh Noiser Osir Ba'Achila. The difference is the difference between Nevela and Noiser. That what? Noiser Osir Ba'Achila, you can't eat it. Ubahana. The Chometz Osir Ba'Achila Ubahana. You see, Nevela is not Osir Ba'Hana, but Noiser, which we're trying to prove it from, is something that not only is it Osir to eat, but it's also Osir Ba'Hana, which is more similar to Chometz. Ma Noiser Tarin Sreif. And just like by Noiser, you have to burn it when you have to get rid of it. Ach Chometz Tarin Sreif. So too Chometz, you have to burn it when you have to get rid of it. Amulay. So the Chachamim say, yeah, okay, fine. But there are other issues from Shar Niskol, for example, Yechiyach. I'll prove it to you from Shar Niskol, Shar Osir Ba'Achila, which is also you're not allowed to eat it. Ubahano, and you're not allowed to have enough from a Shar Niskol, right? So a Shar, after it was killed, it still remains Osir Ba'Hano. But in a Tarin Sreif. And it doesn't need to be burned. So again, we have another Isra in the Torah that's similar to Chametz, Osir Ba'Hana, Osir Ba'Achila, and it still doesn't have to be burned. Amalahen, so once again, so Rabbi Yehuda has a problem with that. So Amalahen, Hefresh, there's still a difference. Noiser, Osir Ba'Achila, Ubahana, the Oynish Kari. See, but also, Noiser is similar to Chametz in the fact that you can't eat it, it's Osir Ba'Hana, and also, if you do eat it, there's an Isra Chametz. It is an Isra Karis, right? But Chametz also Ba'Achila. Chametz similarly also is also Ba'Achila, Ba'Hana, Uva Einish Karis, and it has Karis. Okay, so the Gemara says like this, that, so the Shara Niskol, alright, Shara Niskol is not Einish Karis if you eat it. So the Gemara, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Amal Han Hefesh, Noiser also Ba'Achila, Ba'Hana, Uva Einish Karis. The chametz also ba'achila v'hanah ba'inish karis, and ma noiser b'sreifa. So just like noiser is again has to be burned, af chametz b'sreifa. So to chametz has to be burned. Af chametz has to be burned. Right. So amar loy chilba shel shara niskol yechiyach. So the last thing the Gemara, the attempt that Rabbi Yehuda has, is that shara niskol is the fat, the chaliv, which is also Einish Karis, is also in the Shara Niskol, has all the elements. That, so it should prove, and even so it doesn't need to be burned. So it should prove that just because it has these elements doesn't necessarily mean the result requires that it be burned. Why? Because you're not allowed to eat it, it's chaliv, Ubahana, and because it's part of a Shara Niskol, it's also Ubahana, but Einish Karis. And it's also Einish Karis because it's chaliv, and it doesn't need Sreifa. So Chazar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says you're right. Okay, fine. So I don't have a raya from that to chametz because there are other isurim in the Torah which have that same quality and don't necessarily have to be burned. That they can the osir b'hana, osir b'achila, and it's einish karis if you do eat it. And even so, it doesn't necessarily need to be burned. So Chazar Rabbi Yehuda v'dana dinacher. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, fine. I'll try one more time. I'll prove it to you this way. Noisu yeshna v'bal sasiru. That noisu, the whole concept is that once it's left over, you're not really allowed to leave it over. V'chametz v'bal sasiru. And chametz also because it says bal yira bal yimatzer. The Torah is telling you that you're not allowed to find it anymore after the time that it's offer. And they have so they're similar types of iser. Ma noiser b'sreifa, af chametz b'sreifa. So just like noiser has to be burned, so too chametz also requires that it specifically be burned. Amru loy. So the chachamim say like this. Oshem tali v'chatas ha'oyif habal esafik. So you yourself are going to slug yourself up. How? Because oshem tali is a carbon that you bring when you had suffik, when a person is a suffik whether or not he did something accidentally that requires an iser kares. For example, you have a piece of chaliv in front of you and you don't know whether or not you ate chaliv or not. So you bring the carbon until you find out for sure whether or not you actually ate the chaliv. And chatas ha'oif is a suffik chatas ha'oif we're talking, habal suffik, the Gemara says. That's talking about, for example, if you have a woman who gave birth and she doesn't know whether or not it was a real baby and whether it requires to bring a carbon or not. So when you bring the carbon chatas, you bring it ala suffik. Now that I eat it, because it might not be required, and you have to do malika, which is not a kasher shechita, if it's not kachim. In any event, so now that you have to get rid of them, how do you get rid of them? With varecha, according to what you said yourself on how to deal with these things, that will prove that you don't have to burn them. Why? Shehein v'bal tasiru, because those are also things that have an isra v'bal tasiru, because they're regular karbanos. Sha'anu oimrim, because we, when we said in that halacha specifically how to get rid of them, b'sreifa, we said that they have to be burned. And you yourself, Rabbi Yehuda, said that they have to be buried and not burned. So you yourself agree that sometimes when you have the Isra of Al-Tasira, you don't necessarily have to burn it. Shasak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda kept quiet, he didn't have a raya anymore. So he said, okay, maskit. Or he actually didn't agree, but the Chacham said that we can't learn your drasha. So the Gemara finishes off very interesting. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Haynad Armi Inshi, that's why people say, Kapa de Chota Nagra, a spoon that was chiseled out by a carpenter, right? The Gavo that he created the spoon, Nisrav Chardala, in the spoon itself he burns his mouth with mustard seeds, meaning that he created the spoon, he's going to use the spoon, and the spoon itself is going to burn his mouth. So to over here, Rabbi Yehuda himself, so to speak, shlugged him, he proved himself wrong, because he was himself, by the carbon Ashim Tali, was the one who said that it has to be buried and not burned. And Amar Abaya says a different version to the same thing. Sadono, the person whose job it is to make handcuffs or to make some restraining things, Bisadina Yasid, he's going to have to sit in the restraints, Midvil Yodei Mishtalim, from the work of his hands, when he gets caught cheating or stealing or something like that, he's going to end up being stuck in his own handcuffs, in his own chains. So again, he proved himself wrong. And Rava Omar, Rava says also a similar thing, Gira, a person whose job it is to make arrows, Begiri Mikdel, he's going to be killed, he can be killed even with his own arrow. Midvil Yodei Mishtalim, from the work of his own hands, he ends up getting repaid. So too, over here, Rabbi Yehuda, by the fact that he said this has to be buried instead of burned, he ends up shlugging himself up. Okay?